Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. We're going to do this part of the show. I always try to do one kind of science side of the show along with some gardening, and then I try to do usually some climate, and maybe I'll pick out a small subject for some natural history, just kind of keep things flowing along. I'm going to be a little bit more serious for a few minutes. I'm going to talk about current science that we've learned, and the question that this scientist was talking about is, can eating organic food actually help prevent Parkinson's disease? We'll get into it. It'll make more sense in a minute. Agricultural workers in the United States currently use more than 400 different pesticides on our crops, quote unquote, to ensure higher yields and improve product quality. These pesticides, however, threaten the health of people who work with them on the farms or agricultural lands and of those who live nearby those areas. Two of the most dangerous pesticides that are still in use in our country is paraquat and rotenone. Exposure to these pesticides has found to lead to an increased risk of developing Parkinson's disease, and this is according to a number of different studies. Paraquat was first commercially produced back in 1961 and is used to destroy weeds and grasses resistant to glyphosate, another toxic pesticide sold all across our country under the name Roundup. As for rotenone, it was formulated before the turn of the century, 100 years ago, 1895, but is only during this last century that it started being employed on a large scale to get rid of unwanted herbs and pests. To begin with, paraquat is extremely dangerous and poisonous, and a single sip of this pesticide, a sip now, can immediately cause death. For this reason, it is a super restricted use pesticide, which means that agricultural workers who intend to use it have to undergo special training before mixing, loading, or applying paraquat anywhere. During this special training, people who work with this pesticide are taught to about the toxicity of paraquat, but they also learn how to apply it safely to crops and how to minimize exposure while working with it, or at least so we think. Unfortunately, even if paraquat is used correctly, it can still cause significant health risk for agricultural workers. When they take off their protective equipment, vapors of the paraquat from the crops can easily travel with them to their farms or even their houses. And there's also the danger of workers unavoidably inhaling this stuff. Paraquat can also infiltrate groundwater and soil, causing serious environmental damage, and I mean for the long term. So if it's so poisonous, why do authorities still allow the use of paraquat? Paraquat is applied to more than 100 crops throughout the country. Developing a pesticide as effective as paraquat was hard work. This is one of the reasons why the Environmental Protection Agency continues to allow the use of paraquat in the United States. Presently, paraquat is banned in more than 50 other countries. That shows you how far behind we are, including China and the United Kingdom, for instance, Thailand, all the European Union. Nonetheless, it remains one of the most widely used pesticides in developed countries like the United States and even Australia. Unsettlingly, more than 8 million pounds of paraquat is used throughout the United States every year. And this is according to a 2019 press release, the most recent one I could find, from the Center for Biological Diversity. Unfortunately, with California ranking first as the state using the most pesticides in the entire country. According to the 2016 data provided by the USGS, that's the U.S. Geological Survey, which was published by Price Economics, California made up more than 11% of all pesticides used in the whole nation. The state used nearly twice as much as the second-ranked state, Washington, according to Price Economics. In spite of how dangerous it is, paraquat is still used on crops because they claim it spares agricultural workers a lot of labor. According to Syngenta, an agricultural company that produces paraquat, the pesticide also, quote-unquote, supposedly protects against invasive weeds and helps produce agronomically important crops like soy, corn, and even cotton. Fortunately, I hope, in early 2021, the EPA has started considering renewal of its approval of paraquat. The agency is expected to get a decision out by the end of this coming year. I don't know why it takes them forever to do this stuff, but most advisors in the EPA advise people to either get away from it or we should make it illegal for general use. at this point, the EPA just doesn't support or not support evidence concerning how dangerous paraquat is, especially in relationship to Parkinson's disease. However, numerous reputable medical studies beg to differ with them. For instance, according to a Farming and Movement Evaluation FAME study, they're pretty well respected, which included 110 people who had developed Parkinson's disease and 358 matched controls, there is a link between rotenone and paraquat and Parkinson's disease without a doubt. People who used either pesticide developed Parkinson's disease at approximately 2 times faster and more often than non-users. This was stated in a press release by the National Institute of Health and one of the agencies that was involved with this study. Parkinson's disease is a disorder affecting the brain that leads to shaking, stiffness, difficulty with walking, balance, and coordination. According to the National Institute of Aging, the symptoms usually begin appearing gradually and get worse over time. Regular exposure to paraquat is known to cause Parkinson's disease by increasing the risk of developing the disease by a whopping 250%. And this is according to a 2018 study by Canada's University of Guelph, a medical study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology, revealed that exposure to paraquat and at least one other pesticide called Monib, which we will talk about later, within 1,600 feet of a home heightened the risk of developing Parkinson's disease by over 75%. And it was just if it was near you. People heavily exposed to paraquat who are susceptible to developing Parkinson's include agricultural workers, of course farmers, and people living on animal farms, individuals who reside on farms, and people who even live in rural areas, especially if they're drinking well water. Additionally, people working as chemical mixers and tank fillers are also at risk of developing Parkinson's disease due to their contact with the poisons. Drinking well water from a location close to a crop to which paraquat has been applied can be really dangerous because the pesticide can easily reach the groundwater. Those frequently exposed to paraquat contaminated waters are at risk for gradual accumulation of the pesticide in their bodies, posing a health danger and, of course, increasing their chances of getting Parkinson's disease. When someone's exposed to paraquat, the pesticide tends to travel through the lungs or the stomach and eventually reach a portion of the brain medically known as your, only do this once, substantia nigra, region of your brain, whatever that is. This brain region is responsible for releasing dopamine, a crucial neurochemical that plays a significant role in how many systems of our central nervous system function, from movement control to cognitive executive functions. Once paraquat reaches the substantia nigra, it depletes the neurons that produce dopamine, a process that is associated with, of course, Parkinson's disease. The damage caused by paraquat to these neurons can ultimately result in the impairment of essential brain functions, and most likely it's permanent. Well, this is kind of a setup. Now I'll tell you where I'm going with this, because it goes back to organic matters. Because fruits, vegetables, and cereals harvested from organic crops have been treated with natural and synthetic pesticides, if any, which are far less likely to cause health problems, they are the perfect alternative to conventionally grown produce. Natural pesticides are not as toxic as paraquat or glyphosate by far, and include horticultural vinegars and corn gluten meals and neem oil and vitamin D3 and hydrogen peroxide, things that we're all familiar with that are known to be safe to us. Furthermore, organic products usually have more nutrients, such as antioxidants. As a matter of fact, people with allergies to foods, chemicals, or preservatives can greatly benefit from such healthy food sources. They may even notice that their symptoms alleviate or go away when they start eating exclusively organic-based foods. However, the downside of organic food and growing organic crops is that they require more energy, more time, and more financial resources. There's a greater labor input by farmers when it comes to organic crops, which makes these products more expensive overall. Another reason why organic food is pricier than conventionally grown produce is that organic agriculture farmers do not produce enough quantity of a single product to reduce the overall cost. The regular maintenance of organic crops is obviously more time consuming, as farmers have to be very careful with unconventional pesticides used to keep weeds, unwanted herbs, and pests at bay during organic farming. It's basically not allowed, folks. As far as I'm concerned, folks, even so, eating organic is undoubtedly the future, as most non-organic produce contains significant traces of toxic pesticides such as paraquat that inevitably accumulate in our bodies over time, being able to trigger severe diseases in the future. While eating organic food may be more expensive, and it is really wiser to invest in these products given the health benefits. However, it is true that the accessibility and affordability of healthy organic food is a strong issue among the United States food system inequities. Nowadays, organic food doesn't necessarily come from small local farms. They are largely a product of big businesses, most of them being produced by multinational companies and sold in chain stores. These leading food and agriculture companies should invest more in the consumer's well-being and offer nutritious food affordable to all communities. In my estimation, one solution would be the implementation of government schemes to promote organic farming and incentivize farmers to transition to organic agriculture. Instead of supporting factory farms, the government could support sustainable family farms, which often farm way more ethically. It could lower healthy food costs and address the health crises brought on by the mass consumption of unhealthy processed foods. Organic foods will not only lead to better health, but will also discourage the practice of applying hazardous pesticide on conventionally grown crops, doing away with the health and environmental hazards involved in the whole process. So think about that, and let me leave you with a good thought. Just go into your computer or your iPhone or borrow somebody's, you don't have it, and put in the Dirty Dozen. That's all you've got to put in, Dirty Dozen. You'll get a printout, or you can just leave it on your phone, that'll tell you every 2 or 3 months, 3 or 4 times a year, what fruits and vegetables have been the most treated with pesticide at the time. They do it regularly, and there's also a clean 15. Again, you can just put them in, folks. I carry them with me after I learned them. Now I kind of know them. And I buy the clean 15. You don't have to worry about buying organic. It'll save you some money. The Dirty Dozen, though, which are the lot of which we eat most often, you really need to think about spending that little bit of extra for the health of you, your children, your family, and actually the environment. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.